We are now joined by Dr. James Malazita. Dr. Malazita is an assistant professor in the Science and Technology Studies Department and the Games and Simulation Arts and Sciences Program at RPI. He is also an interdisciplinary researcher whose work combines science and technology studies, media studies, game studies, and the digital humanities. Dr. Malazita is also the founder of the Tactical Humanities Lab. He is here to talk to us about ethics, computer science, and the digital humanities, and to test my reading skills. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you so much for having me.
So let's jump right into it. What got you first involved in computer science, and then how did that transition into incorporating humanities?
So before I did my PhD in communication and cultural studies, I was originally trained as a digital designer, so mostly making video games, animation, web design. But I was also interested in kind of the more human elements of study, so anthropology and philosophy. I ended up taking a lot of those courses as an undergrad. And I kind of realized as I was working my way through school that there was a lot of ways that these two disciplines could speak to each other, but they were so siloed in different parts of campus, as well as in the types of readings that they had and the types of intellectual histories that they pulled from, that they weren't really able to speak to each other very well. And so a big part of my PhD and my teaching now is actually trying to resolve for myself that internal crisis of how do we actually get technical disciplines to speak more deeply and to listen more deeply to kind of interpretive, humanistic, and social justice literatures.
Wonderful. And what are some of the key differences between like this section and other popular like computer science sections?
Sure. So for a little bit of context, so the experimental course we're running right now, along with Chris Totsi, who was featured last week, I believe, on this show, is a social justice variation of Intro to Computer Science or Computer Science 1, where students traditionally learn the basics of how to think about coding and then introduction to Python, a programming language. And the traditional way it's being taught is you go and attend lectures, you're given kind of basic homework assignments where you practice different types of code. Learning code is a lot of just repetition, and so you do lab works and homeworks and tests just to practice the types of coding that you can learn. This type of decontextualized learning, right, where it talks about, oh, we're going to teach you how to code in this abstract way, and then at some point you'll be able to use that code to solve real-world problems, implicitly teaches computer science students that code itself is not political, right? That it doesn't have a history. It doesn't have certain authors who've privileged some aspects of learning over others, that it doesn't come from a certain branch of intellectual history, and that political content of code and education can also serve to alienate certain populations. So, for example, it is not a coincidence that computer science programs tend to be dominated by white men at the undergraduate level. So what we're trying to do in our classroom is recontextualize code. So as students are learning how to program, learning Python, they're also learning about some of the histories that led to the different algorithms and the different social contexts of coding, and then practicing their programming skills by using things like real-world data sets or historical data sets where code, even pre-computer code, has been used to marginalize populations. So they can actually learn about kind of the non-neutral ways that you can practice code and then think more deeply about how to practice it better.
And so is this a kind of a mix of what kind of reading materials, I guess? Because I imagine it's got to be, you know, your very technical type manuals, but then also more philosophical stuff. Is that really tough balance to find?
So it's the first time we've run the course, and there's definitely been some bugs along the way that we're going to be debug in the future. So right now, the lecture sections are very technical, and the discussion and homework sections that I personally run tend to be more philosophical, and it actually is really hard to bridge those two. So some of our alternative homeworks and lab assignments do some work at trying to get students to learn and read through coding. But often it can feel as though there's a coding segment of the class and then there's a discussion segment of the class. And it's better than having no discussion segment, but we're actually trying to learn how to better incorporate discussing and thinking about political influences and philosophy through the act of coding. So that's something we're kind of polishing up still.
One way that we see a lot of different messages going through these days are through video games. Is there a lot of talk about the ethics of video games as you go through the course?
Sure. So right now the course is aimed more at computer science students in general, but as you might guess, there is a heavy overlap between game students and computer science students, as well as computer science students and those who, students who are just interested in playing games. So some of the content that we have in the course and then in the games major talks a lot about narratives in video games, so ways that we can think about issues of representation, issues of who is allowed to produce games and who's not, who has access to technological means of game production. We're still trying to work in a little bit more of a deeper underlying how do games work in ways that actually privilege and deprivilege different kinds of stories. So not just storyline content, but different ways of telling stories.
Do you find that the earlier age that someone is exposed to, like, their first coding, you know, whether it's like a website that kind of gives you a tutorial, or maybe they had a class in middle or high school, do you find that that then has a larger impact on whether they follow it, or do you find that there's just as many people who pick it up in college and it doesn't make a huge difference?
So it makes a big difference, but actually in a couple different ways, as power tends to do. So it's certainly true that students who have had experience with programming and coding, and honestly even just playing video games, for example, because video games are so code-like in their narratives, tend to be able to pick up the logics of programming a little bit easier. However, there can be a problem because of the structures of higher education where students, especially students of color and women who have learned how to code through things like Black Girls Code and all these wonderful K-12 kind of women and students of color in STEM programs, are taught at the grade school and high school level that their identities are core to who they are, that their identities are core to their position as a programmer, and that computer science and STEM can really radically benefit from their participation. Once they get to college, all of that stuff is switched. So they're kind of baited in through these identity-focused, social justice-focused programs, and they get to college and they're often told, your identity doesn't matter. Society doesn't really matter until your senior year when you've mastered code. And those students actually tend to have a harder time, even though they have previous coding background, because their understanding of the boundaries between society and code are being explicitly challenged.
See, that's really fascinating to me that they then have that issue as soon as you get into it. So what options do these graduates have then for getting back into it? What are the kinds of careers that are open to someone who becomes a master in coding, but also with this deeper understanding of social justice?
So there's certainly lots of nonprofit organizing and kind of consultancy. Google and Silicon Valley are very invested in diversity and inclusion programs, somewhat shallowly sometimes. So there's certainly that. But we're actually hoping that many of these students can go into really standard basic computer programming jobs because we not only want to change the culture from the top down by rethinking what education does, but want to change the culture from the bottom up. So get into these entry-level positions, bring these values, bring these literacies with you so that as you work your way up inside programming firms or inside companies, you're able to bring these kind of narratives and issues of social justice up with you.
Well, thanks. Kalina, do you have a question?
Yeah, so are there ways to really work on not only the coding and kind of the ethics work, but also developing like the leadership and confidence of the coders while they're coming up through through your program to kind of get them a little more confident when they step into these programs and like kind of, you know, move forward into it seems like a really competitive world of coding and Yeah,
it's not only a hyper-competitive world, but a hyper-masculine competitive world. The number, despite a lot of the women in STEM recruitment programs that have been going on since the mid-90s, the number of women graduating from computer science programs has actually been decreasing over the past decade. And the number of women employed in computer science has been decreasing even more rapidly. So there's a huge shrinking pipeline problem. So the two ways we try to help address it, because we're one point in the structure, is one, very consciously creating an open and supportive attitude in our computer science classrooms, which is not the norm in all, not specifically RPI, but many technical classrooms where there's a privilege of content over conversation. So how can we actually build students' confidence and capacity within a learning environment? And then we're trying to broaden the project to work with more student multicultural groups on campus, particularly the Black Students Association and Alianza Latina, to help them work with us to work with students on campus about how to bridge more of these technical elements and issues outside of computer science classrooms and, frankly, outside of classrooms in general that women and students of color, of course, face all the time on a STEM-focused campus. So how do we build those capacities for our students as well?
And what about the students that you would more typically see in these classrooms? Is there any work done about kind of like including them and helping them, I guess, kind of open their eyes and make them feel a little more open-minded to having, I guess, being more inclusive or being more open to having more diverse, having a more diverse student base in their classrooms?
So yes and no. So the kind of pie-in-the-sky dream of myself in terms of computer science, one, is this becomes no longer a special opt-in small section, but becomes the standardized way in which computer science is taught, right? That you learn not only in order to be a computer scientist, you have to be a good programmer, but you have to be a deep social thinker as well. Currently on campus, and this is pretty common in many science programs, you do have to take courses in sociology or the humanities, and that theoretically makes you a more socially conscious person. But what we find often happens is students who are already kind of hesitant to engage in those conversations, the fact that they have to leave their majors, so computer science, biology, engineering, go across campus to the social sciences departments or humanities departments to learn these issues, it implicitly reinforces to them that these issues are alien to them, right? That they don't need it. They're externalized. They're extra. Mm-hmm. And so part of this is trying to curricularly build these kind of issues back into their technical classes.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have any other questions except do you plan on running the course again in the next semester?
So we will be offering the course again in the spring semester, and we're hoping that starting in the fall of 2019 that we'll be able to offer not only one section but a couple of larger sections, hopefully by recruiting some of our students who are currently in the class now to act as mentors and ambassadors for a new generation of students.
Wonderful.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And that was Dr. James Malazita, RPI professor, discussing ethics, computer science, digital humanities, and games.